Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, pet expert and founder of Pet Prana, Denise Munch.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Ron Dadon. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
What is that expression, life imitating art, or art imitating life, or that age-old question, I should say? You know, I'm starting to feel like my life is imitating our show. Either that, or our show is imitating my life. Let me give you an example. So, as Mark just announced, we have a guest on who's going to be talking about animal communication. And so I was literally on the phone with her, I think it was on Friday, getting to know her a little better and asking questions about what we're going to talk about and all that. And I finished the conversation with her literally on the driveway of a person who I was going to be meeting, and spent a couple minutes on the driveway finishing the conversation, hung up the phone with her, and then walked up the steps to this person's house. And the dog started, that was this person's dog, started nipping at my heels and kept going, so much so that the person's like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. And then she went and got a muzzle and put it on him, like, oh, so you know the dog has done this before. This is interesting. Yes, she's like, I really don't know what it means. And I said, funny, I was just on the phone with somebody who could probably tell you exactly what that means. Now, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of animals in my life, and I don't get to spend a lot of time with animals because animals are wonderful. But this weekend was full of animals. So I went from there to a person's home that has a cat. And this caught me so off guard that the cat was there looking at me, wanting attention. And I thought, how many cats come up and want attention from people? And so I was petting the cat, and the cat was following me all everywhere. We went from the office to the everywhere. And then, and I'm like, what would you be saying right now? And I had this funny thought, the cat is saying, take me with you, take me with you. And I thought, no, that can't be. And I can't take you with you, with me. So that was that. And then later in the weekend, was it Saturday? Was it Sunday? I'm trying to think. I think it was Sunday. Then I went to somebody's house who has a dog, and the dog was all over me and wanting to be pet and barking, 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 and just wanting to be pet. And if as soon as I'd stop, the dog would bark. I'm like, what are you saying? And I thought the dog was like, look at me, 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 touch me, touch me, touch me, touch me, pet me, pet me. So that was all good and fun and interesting. And then this morning, I get a call from a friend I haven't spoken to in a really long time. So I answered the phone in the midst of my busyness, but I felt like I needed to answer the phone. And it's interesting because years ago, I remember sharing with this friend that I thought that there were things that he and his parents needed to figure out. And the friend actually said, I don't know what you're talking about. My parents and I have a really great relationship. And I said, okay, I'm just saying, sorry, I guess you weren't asking. And then something would happen. And then, you know, a year or so later, I'd say, you know what? I think it extends from your parents and you not, you know, seeing the situation or situations. And he politely said, I know you're trying to tell me something, but I'm just not hearing it. And maybe now's not the time to hear it. Well, this friend calls me this morning and says, you won't believe what happened. And I said, well, what happened? He said, well, I went and spent time with my parents, and my dog and their dog got into a really horrible fight, and they both ended up at the veterinarian hospital, both dogs. And I'm like, whoa. This is interesting. Now I really want to know. And so our show is titled What Your Pet's Behavior is Saying About You. And I'm looking at our guest's face right now. She's like, And so can't wait to dig into that conversation as my life imitates our show, or our show imitates our life, here on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Volta, just sitting here with Mark Leger. I could just hear all the people saying, well, I'm glad I don't have a dog, or I'm going to keep my dog away from them.
Well, before you start telling that story, I was going to ask you anyway if you had ever had any experiences where you felt like you were talking to a dog
Funny.
Or a cat or something else like that. So you've had more than one, actually.
You're so funny. Well, actually, Denise, our guest, did ask me. She's like, I got to get your book. I got to read your book. And she did get the book. She didn't have a chance to read it last minute. But I filled her in a little bit, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say on that. But probably not for this show.
That we're definitely going to have another show.
Have to have another show. In the meantime, yes, what your pet's behavior is saying about you. With special guest, certified dog trainer, pet intuitive, pet numerologist, and founder of Pet Prana, Denise Maj. Welcome to the show, Denise.
Oh, thank you. It's so nice to be here, Philippe and Mark. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. I'm glad you felt comfortable. You put your hair up and you're just...
You're not supposed to tell people that. Shh. I look glamorous. Glamorous walks.
You are glamorous. It doesn't... But I could tell you feel comfortable. We're happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Gave me the thumbs up during the monologue. You're telling me, yeah, you hear that all the time, I bet.
Do you want the cliff notes on what exactly...
Sure.
I'm going to run through it.
Notes.
Oh, yeah, I took notes.
Sure. Let's have it.
So the first dog nipping at you.
Yeah.
What projects are on the horizon that you haven't quite started that you need to get moving on?
So this is a me issue.
It's for you and for her.
Oh, okay.
Guest reactivity has to do with protecting emotional boundaries and self-care. So was she hurt before? Is she nervous about letting people into her life? Is there a vulnerability there?
Oh, wow.
Then the cat, take me with you. First of all, your listing is spot on. But second of all, to take me with you, yes, you can take him with you in spirit and energy, right? Oh. It's a reminder that all our energy is enmeshed, right? So all of us are one.
Oh.
So you can bring him along for the ride. Or if you have an animal companion at home that, you know, isn't well, but you know they love the canyon hike, energetically bring them with you.
Wow.
The dog That's jumping so up and deep. Wanting affection, wanting that petting.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, two things. One, that dog needed some grounding. His energy was really high up, so the petting helps ground him. Petting also was an energetic cleansing. So you were helping clean out some of the energies that maybe his pet parents in the home weren't being as mindful about, you know, cleaning the home from energies as much as they maybe wash their hands.
There's a lot going on in that home.
A lot going on, right?
Yeah.
And the dog fight, you're spot on. That has to do with the sixth chakra, which has to do with parenting, right? And putting ourselves in our parent's shoes, because once we become parents to dogs, we become parents and we start seeing our parents in a different relationship, in a different light.
Wow.
So I know I just kind of zoom through that and I'll slow down my talking, but I was so excited.
Yeah, no, let's have a show on each one of those.
Right? Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, I happen to agree completely, but of course, like Mark mentioned, you know, the little dog that could, I've had experiences with dogs and I feel like I tune in, but I don't think of that consciously a lot. So in those situations, if I had thought it more through, that could have helped me, right?
Absolutely. So that gets back to what you've introduced so beautifully, which is the notion that our pets act as mirrors, right? They act as mirrors for their pet parents, but also for ourselves. So any interaction you have with animals, whether it's someone's pet, whether it's your own pet, whether it's an animal in the wild, or you see a statue of a, you know, wolf in bronze, you can get messages from all those animals.
Even a wolf in bronze.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. It's all about being an observer, right? Because our animals and their behaviors are great ways to provide us with clues as to what's going on in our lives or things that we should be thinking about or lessons. But our natural world is a mirror as well. So, you know, that's where when I do animal training, I bring in numerology, I bring in sacred geometry, I bring in colors, I bring in even the energy of divine archetypes, because those are all different ways for people to experience the vibration that is at the core of the animal's behavior, the pet's behavior.
I was going to make a joke and say, of course, you probably knew this when you came, you know, when you were a kid, but actually you knew certain things when you were a kid.
I did. I had those typical experiences of being a little kid and seeing, you know, ghosts in the corner of my room. And
yeah, I don't know how typical that is.
I think you'd be surprised. I think little kids, you know, they're told it's your imagination. It's not real. But since I've been able to really get some validations and better understand what my experiences were. And then there's things that you can, that are more palpable. Like sometimes I just knew things were going to happen.
As a kid?
As a kid. And
would you tell anybody?
Yeah, I did.
And they, of course, believed you.
They believed
they
me.
They did?
If you believe it. Well, because things happened.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Oh,
But wow. Then I got kind of freaked out and I shut it down pretty early.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. If no one's there to explain to you what's going on, it's hard to kind of harness our gifts.
Mm.
And, you know, as we were talking in the pre-interview, it's such a gift for the next generations to come. The more open we are with our gifts, our intuition, and our understanding of the world, the more we can pass down. Our ancestors used to know this. If you go back to tribal cultures, they were very intuitive. They'd look for the signs in nature. They were connected to the cosmos. They built these amazing pyramids lined up to this, you know, planetary cosmic alignment that we couldn't even dream that they knew of.
Now, you're part Brazilian, so are you referring to that culture in particular?
That also, I'm half Brazilian, half Oklahoman, so I had benefit of growing up with a lot of tribal cultures, Native American cultures, right? Mm. There's a lot of Native American cultural centers in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back to even the most ancient civilizations, they were very attuned to nature and very intuitive, and they'd interpret the signs from nature, and they'd pass that on to the next generations. Somewhere that oral tradition got cut off. And I think finally, as we wake up more and we awaken to our gifts, to intuition, to signs of nature, being more in tune with that, mm-hmm. we're able to, again, give this gift to the next generations.
So, there's so many things
we're
I want
topic.
To ask you. They're all, yeah, let's
bring it back.
Well, no, but it's actually, it's all on topic, obviously. Mm-hmm. And this is, it's like what's most needed. This is like a conversation that's most needed.
And really, when we are more in tune with nature and our environment, that helps us be more in tune with our animal companions, right? Because like you were saying, you were looking at the animal companion being like, gosh, I feel like you want to say something. What is it?
Mm.
You were in that vulnerable, open moment where you were receptive for the message.
Mm.
That's really what animal companions do. They help open up that access point in our heart to receive that information. And once we start receiving it from our animal companions, you'll be surprised at how much more you pick up on about your environment, about other people. You just start sensing things more deeply.
You know, and it's so on topic that, and sensing things more deeply as you're talking about, we're talking about animals. We're going to stick to talking about animals and all kinds of animals, including mm-hmm. birds and pets. This is horses, what have you. But technically, our children or our friends. I mean, we can look at speaking of old adages, show me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are.
That's right.
Right?
And humans are animals. We're social animals, but we're animals at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so as intuitive as our animal companions are, we also have that ability, right? If advertising taught me anything, it was to read the room. And I think what I didn't realize is that's how you pick up on energy as humans. You know, you walk into a room, you know, like, oh, shoot, I was going to make that joke, but everyone looks like someone just got in a lot of trouble. So I'm just going to pipe down in the corner and keep my head down.
Mm.
That's reading energy, just like animals do in nature.
Interesting. Well, and then there are the people that come in and make the joke anyway.
Exactly.
That's a different kind of animal.
A jackass, if you will.
Oh. Hey, some of my best friends are donkeys. We like donkeys. And I like this conversation so much. Actually, when we come back, you mentioned advertising, and this is important because you're doing this, and you didn't always do this. As you said, you shut down and you went into advertising. So when we come back, we want to talk about the glamour and all of that of Madison Avenue and so learn more about that and then eventually get into something that nobody else does is correlate the chakras and animal behavior like you do. So looking forward to the continued conversation with Denise Monge and a little later on live music in the studio here with our musical guest Ron Dadon, all on the Life Changes show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat
by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and we're talking with our guest, Denise Munch, and we're talking about, well, all kinds of things, actually. And if you want to know more about her, her business is called Pet Prana. So Pet, P-E-T, Prana, P-R-A-N-A.com. We'll get into that in a moment, but wanted to make sure we mention that. And Denise, you mentioned advertising, so tell us about that.
Right. So advertising was, a perfect job for me in retrospect. And I always loved it. I always loved working with people and working on cool accounts. Purina was one of the accounts I worked on.
Interesting.
So we got to talk a lot about pets and, their needs and the pet parent and the relationship. But I think what advertising really helped me do is become an observer. Mm. And it helped me identify trends, read between the lines, understand what people's unmet needs and desires were, even when they couldn't verbalize it, but also understand their motivations, right? Mm. And that kind of brought me back to my fifth grade class about Maslow and his hierarchy of needs. So if you're familiar with it, Maslow came up with a theory that, all of us want to reach self-actualization. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we need to make sure our basic physiological needs are met first, right? Mm-hmm. Because if we don't have food and shelter, we're not worried about thinking about what's going on in the cosmos or our spiritual mm-hmm. life. So
I think sex is on there too, right?
Sex is definitely the first basic need. So he did not skip over that. It's within the physiological needs. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs basically start with physiological, which is about, food, water, sex, sleep, making sure your body's, breathing okay, you have clean air. Mm-hmm. Once you're okay with that, you can move up and you're dealing with issues of, making sure that you feel well, you have good health, you have the resources you need to provide for your basic needs. Mm-hmm. Once that's checked off the list, that's where we get into the emotional territory and the emotional needs. Mm. And that's about having friendship, family connection, intimacy, having a job. It goes into building esteem, both having self-confidence and having heroes and respect for others. And only then can you kind of move into that notion of self-actualization, where you then think about moral issues, what's right and wrong. You become that philosopher king. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what I did is I started thinking about dog training in those terms. Mm. I was like, well, in dog training, of course, as pet parents, we all make sure that their basic needs are met. They mm-hmm. have their food, they have their shelter, they're okay health-wise. Mm-hmm. And then traditional dog training takes it to the next level. We build their confidence by training with them. They get a sense of intimacy and connection by being part of our pack. Mm-hmm. More recently, especially with positive reinforcement training, you know, we've added puzzles and mental challenges into the mix so that our dogs can really challenge themselves. But that's where it stopped. Mm. So what I'm proposing is that our animal companions also have the desire to reach self-actualization, right? And that's where that energetic connection is so important. And that's what I'm building and bringing to the table with the chakras.
Wow.
And the way that chakras play in is if you think about the basic needs that Maslow outlined in his hierarchy, the first chakra has to do with those physiological needs, right? The themes are about safety, security, being grounded. Mm-hmm. The second chakra has to do with your desires, your needs, making sure you're balanced, you're taken care of, and so on. I won't go through all of them. Mm-hmm. But so through the understanding the motivation that Maslow outlined, I was able to map pets' behaviors against different chakras.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really clever. Now, you said that's where I went to fifth grade, and you're talking about psychology, but you weren't thinking about all this while you were at Madison Avenue.
No, actually, okay. It simmered after I left. Exactly. In Madison Avenue, you don't have time to think of much, as you might imagine.
It seems glamorous.
Yeah.
And I want to go there for a reason, because obviously there's a contrast here, because it looks like amazing.
Yeah, but the pet intuitive thing could have been very handy at Purina.
It really could have, right?
that piece, a couple not years really late.
But the dogs aren't swiping the credit cards.
Right, that's a good point. All right. So she was tuning into the people in the bank account.
But, and the motivations, right? Because
Go ahead.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we have to understand, you know, what's the common ground between people so that we can find a solution that works for pets and also the pet parents.
Well, speaking of solutions, there was something not working for you.
Mm.
And so how did that manifest as far as you needing to go self-actualize yourself, like you said?
Yes. So, you know, advertising at some point, you know, you're just running yourself ragged. You're working really hard. You don't really stand in your authentic voice, right? Because you tend to be people pleasers in advertising, especially I was on the account side. So I'm, you know, making sure everyone's taken care of, their needs are met, everyone feels good.
And they don't care about you.
But yeah, you know, you're kind of put in the backseat. Exactly. Huge smile. Everything's great. I'm thrilled. So I developed a thyroid issue, which is no coincidence.
Yeah, what does that mean? Yeah.
Linked with the fifth chakra, authenticity, standing in your truth, right? So I kind of got laid back and couldn't get off the couch. It was so debilitating. And then I said, you know what? That's enough. I've had it. Mm. So I decided from there, I always loved animals. So I might open a doggy daycare, which in New York City, you might imagine, is a fantastic business to be in.
Mm.
And I thought, well, if I'm going to...
What a contrast.
Right? I really wanted to change from that lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I figured if I'm going to do it, let me learn about dog behavior. Because truthfully, I never had any pets growing up. Oh. My dad never let us have anything. So I would sneak in caterpillars.
Is he the Brazilian one?
He is.
Oh, okay.
I would sneak in caterpillars, moths. Oh. I even snuck in lab rats, which eventually escaped. And got found, and I had to come clean 20 years later that they were actually mine.
Oh.
The building got a very harshly worded note about the rats.
No. Well, if your dad had only let you have a dog, then
I would have been an eye banker, not a dog trainer, right? I would have had my fill. But yeah, so basically I started working, learning about pet behavior. And once I got my certification, I said, you know what? I love working one-on-one. That's really what I want. I don't want the brick and mortar of a doggy daycare. And so I started working with pet parents, and it was kind of cool in New York City, as you can imagine, because you're going into all these different homes, you know, whether it's an apartment on Park Avenue that you're like, oh my gosh, my apartment looks like a closet, or you're going into some really, you know, small little nooks and you're like, wow, I live in a palace. My 600 square feet is amazing. But what I started doing is realizing that just doing the sit, stay, and teaching them, you know, different behaviors wasn't really honoring the depth of the relationship that the pet parents have with their animal companions. It kind of felt like I was bossing them around a little bit,
wow.
You know, always in a loving way, but something was missing. And that's where animal communication came into the story.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, just when I thought maybe dog training isn't for me, I got an email about an animal communication workshop taking place down the street that weekend.
Which at that point you didn't know anything about.
Nothing.
Did you believe in it?
I mean, I think I deleted it a few times and it kept popping up.
Interesting.
So I was like, all right, let me just check this out. What's the worst thing that can happen? Mm-hmm. And it really opened my eyes and my life and just changed me in a tremendous way. And that's where I found my fulfillment.
So you also, I'm imagining, connected with your childhood gifts.
Yes. So I think I wrote a journal entry about that, that once I got to the point where I was able to connect with the animals again, mm-hmm. it opened my heart and it took me back to that field. Like there's this moment, this glimpse in time that I remember as a little girl where mm-hmm. I was like in a field looking at the bugs and just feeling this huge connection with them. And it opened my heart. And I think what animal companions do for us in that way as well is when I was little, I saw disembodied humans. That frightened me beyond belief. Mm. But if you tell me that I can open up to my intuitive gifts, but I get to communicate with animals, I'm in. That's not scary at all. So that's, for a lot of people, it's an access point to open back up to their intuition, to open their heart to vulnerability, you know, whatever it is that that lesson that you're there to learn, the animal companions help you do it in the most safe, loving, protective dress rehearsal.
Well, good for you. Well, I don't know of anybody that talks about animal behavior and chakras and all of that. So so I'm glad to be having this conversation. I'm wondering what are the things that you have, like, connect the dots for us. So
perfect. So let's start with, you know, you started talking about doing your monologue and talking about the guest reactivity in a dog. Mm-hmm. So let's say that if you realized your dog was having some guest reactivity, what I would say is let's go back to that fourth chakra, because I've linked guest reactivity to the fourth chakra. The reason being that the fourth chakra has to do with issues of self-care and emotional boundaries.
So guest reactivity meaning the nipping or any of that?
Barking. The reason she had to put a muzzle
okay, right.
on, you know, so if they're barking at people coming in or they're kind of lunging or maybe sometimes they're really scared and they're hiding and they're, you know, cowering under something.
Okay.
If they have any behavior that's not their own when a guest comes in, a reaction, mm-hmm. that's something we want to look at.
Wow. Okay.
Right. And so really what I interpret that is that the pet parent might have a pattern in their life where, you know, as we talked about, they're not safe letting someone in. They've let someone into their life. They've been hurt before. So maybe they're a little trepidatious, whether they're conscious of it or not.
Wow.
Because sometimes we don't realize that, right? And so I would say, number one, do you have that propensity where you hurt? Are you nervous? Are you nervous about being in a new relationship? Or do you have an issue with that person, but you're letting them in anyway? I mean, we all know, you know, stories of mother-in-laws. They come over to the house and they just criticize everything and they speak in a negative way mm-hmm. to, you know, their daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. And if your animal companion is seeing that, they're going to protect you, mm. right? If you're not going to stand up for yourself, they'll do it for you. Mm. So, you know, we really want to look at the situation and find out the energy behind it, because it has to do with, you know, being loved, accepting love, intimacy, but also setting boundaries. So what our animal companion might be asking us to do at that point is say, I'm so glad to have you in my home, but, mm-hmm. you know, I don't appreciate you speaking to me that way. Mm-hmm. So what are ways that you can safely stand up for yourself? And your animal companion kind of sees that happen and the pattern goes away. A lot of times with the fourth chakra, there's different limiting beliefs that we can examine as a starting point. Some are the limiting belief that I do not trust myself to set up healthy boundaries around my heart and energy. Or, you know, some of us believe I do not deserve to be treated with the same compassion that I show others, or that you're not worthy of love if you have emotions like anger and resentment, because sometimes we judge ourselves. Mm. Sometimes we push ourselves away because we think we have some emotions or patterns that are less than perfect. What I would say is, if you had a dog with guest reactivity and if you were part of my program or if we were working together, mm-hmm. I'd say let's look at the traditional obedience training. Mm-hmm. We're going to do desensitization. We're going to associate people coming in with awesome treats. We're going to help give your dog a protocol. But let's also sit down and do some meditation, think about what's going on in our lives, what patterns coming up. Mm. And it might not be with your pet. It might be in a broader aspect of your life, whether with family, career, you know, siblings, whatever that might be.
And more treats for the owner then.
Oh, absolutely. Always treats for the owner.
You know, you're right on in all of the cases, I think. So this is fascinating. So you have developed a course. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about it. But you've developed a course where once a week, people get to go through each of the chakras. So it's 7 weeks, right?
It's a 7-week course. Sometimes I throw some bonus Q&As in there because it's a lot of information.
Yeah.
But we go through 7 chakras, and every chakra has a corresponding pet behavior associated with it.
I think this is so clever and so needed, whether somebody has a pet or not, I think, from what I can tell. So we'll come back with some final words with Denise Monge right after this. And then we'll have our Ask Dorothy segment with our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and live music in the studio with Ron Dadon, all on the Life Changes show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and 4 legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, Denise Monge. Actually, could you, you're the Brazilian Portuguese. How did you say that so beautifully?
Monge is how it sounds in Portuguese.
It's so beautiful. Actually, you're, and then be Denise?
Denise Monge is my full name.
It's like a music to it.
Oh, thank you. My parents did a good job, huh?
And you actually speak, because you were born in the States.
I was born in the States, grew up in Brazil. My mom's from Oklahoma, and my dad's Brazilian. So, you know, I wore a Brazilian bikinis to church camp, and that did not go over well. I learned quickly it's a full piece in Oklahoma.
Could you say something in Brazilian Portuguese?
Estou muito contente estando aqui com vocês hoje, e muito obrigada por tudo.
Oh,
e vai
wow.
Brasil, right? Because we have the World Cup.
That's
so.
Right. I actually understood that. I'm really happy to be having this conversation and then grateful for everything.
Yes.
Really
yes.
Close?
That's perfect. Your Italian is working.
Yeah, the Italian helps. Well, obrigado. Happy to have you here. So actually, tell us a little bit more about the course, and then people can go to Pet Prana. PetPrana.com and learn more, of course, sign up, etc. But tell us a little
Absolutely.
More.
Absolutely. So the course, as you mentioned, is a 7-week course. We'll go mm-hmm. through each of the chakras, starting with the first, the base chakra, because we want to have everything build upon each other. And the first chakra has to do with on-leash reactivity. The second chakra, we'll be talking about separation anxiety. The third chakra, nipping, chewing, barking. The fourth chakra, we're going back to that guest reactivity that we outlined a little bit here today. And then with the throat chakra, we get into benevolent leadership, right? How can we be loving and kind and collaborative, but authentic? Because our animal companions really help us step into our authenticity. And especially as a woman, that can be tough. You know, I personally, I'm not a big authoritative figure. Mm. So the animal companions really taught me how to be a leader, but my kind of leader, not this kind of masculine driving force. It taught me that sometimes a whisper is more powerful than a shout.
Wow.
And then with the sixth chakra, we'll be talking about housebreaking issues. And the seventh chakra, we'll be talking about moments of crisis with our pet. So pets transitioning or lost pets and what we can garner from that. And with each, we'll be talking about energetic themes, you know, with victimhood, martyrdom, balancing our needs versus their needs, the notion of, you know, duality and polarity, the notions of self-care and what it means to be an empath with a pet, because you guys feed off each other's energy, which is really cool. We talk about energetic clearing, how to properly clear our spaces, our auras, our mind, our thoughts. And, you know, we even talk with the seventh chakra about some galactic perspectives, which is kind of cool. Yeah, for all the star seeds out there, this carries a lot of Palladian energy.
Oh gosh, we have more to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I could keep going, but this entire course is going to kick off soon. I have, you know, multiple sessions going at a time, but July 5th is the next one. It's a small group course, but I do live Q&As to make sure that we're, you know, because I can use my intuition to go deeper too.
No, but you should do, you shouldn't.
I do offer one-on-one sessions as well.
Okay.
And I do in person if you're here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So all those options are on my website, as you mentioned. And I also invite you to go to my website because there's a lot of free resources because I think education's really important. So I have calls that I've done on preparing for the 4th of July and fireworks. I also have calls about unleash reactivity in the first chakra. And I also constantly want to, you know, do group calls to get your specific answers, questions answered. So sign up. You know, I look at it as if you're a pet parent and you want to learn, I want to teach. And if there's anyone in your pack who's interested in taking the course, which I call Healing with Chakras, I have a special discount for you guys, a promo code, and it's Little Pup in honor of your book. Yeah, or Little Dog.
Wait, what was
the title?
Little Dog.
Little Dog. Okay. Little Dog.
Because she's referring to the Little Dog That Could book. Thank you. All right. Well, Little Dog to get a special discount for those who want to sign up. And it seems like this is something that more people will want to learn to do. And this is a bigger conversation to be had. So more
power to you.
This is
the new way forward of pet guardianship. I strongly believe that. We're moving out of, you know, the dominance-based into this more collaborative, energetic, learning from each other frame of mind.
Nice.
And we get to do it in a pack of like-hearted pet parents.
Nice.
Because, yeah, we create pages where we support each other. We get questions. So if you sign up with me, you're part of my pack. Exactly. Okay. And I'm going to be taking care of you.
Cool. All right. I'm signing up so I can be part of the pack. Pet Prana. PetPrana.com is the website that Denise mentioned. Little Dog is the code. And Denise Monge, thank you so much. I wish I could say it like you do. That's so beautiful. So thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you for having me
on our show and sharing all of that. So, Mark, actually, related to Denise, we have a shout out.
We do have a shout out who introduced us to our guest tonight. We want to direct you to Jackie Lapin and the ConsciousMediaRelations.com site. Look no further. Conscious Media Relations specializes in authors, films, companies, and resources that serve the mind, body, spirit marketplace. That's ConsciousMediaRelations.com.
And our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Rose, and life has gotten a bit overwhelmingly challenging these past few weeks. I fell and broke my wrist and couldn't work for a few weeks. Since then, everything seems to get worse and worse on a daily basis. My friends all want to know what's wrong with me because I have always been the one to help them find the rainbow at the end of the storm. All of my family and friends are also feeling stress, and we are all exhausted. What is going on, and how do we deal with it?
Rose, this same issue has been brought to my attention on a daily basis by one or more of my clients. Not everyone has broken their wrist, but many have had accidents and have been forced to rest and recalibrate. People are feeling the many shifts taking place on the planet. There have been lots of earthquakes and volcanic eruptions lately, and social media has brought this fact to everyone's attention. Now that almost everyone has a smartphone, there are more horrific videos being shown of many things that have always been occurring but weren't publicized. So much fear is being served up on a daily basis, and if we were to buy into it and focus on it, we couldn't help but be become exhausted. The way I deal with this is to focus on as much good as possible. I do scan the headlines, and instead of going into fear, I connect with Source and ask that love, light, and healing energies be sent to all involved. We are living in interesting times of shift and change, and I believe the best way to deal with all of it is to imagine a better world. We are magical beings, and we are the co-creators of this thing called life. Like you, I'm being constantly challenged, and I do my best to choose response to every situation instead of going into reaction. I'm not perfect in doing this, but I have surrounded myself with people who are doing their best to respond, and they quickly and lovingly point out those rare moments when I have chosen reaction. I believe that when we look for the good, we will find it. Fear is exhausting. Love energizes us. Let's choose love over fear and help our friends and loved ones choose love, too.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be back with our musical guest, Ron Dadon, here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Denise Monge. And joining us in the studio is, well, I have here up-and-coming singer-songwriter, but I think she's up-and-come. Here she is, Ron Dadon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Because, according to my notes, you just released your first single. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Very exciting. And the official video that went along with it is very nice.
Yes, thank you.
However, on the way to your first single, there have been a lot of singles, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's never just like, oh, and I just decided to do this one day.
Yeah, exactly.
You've spent many days deciding to do this. When did you start?
Yeah, I've kind of been doing music my whole life. It was kind of like, I've always kind of been interested in it. And then it was a slow, like, uprising to actually pursuing it. So now I just released my first single a few months ago, and I'm just kind of going up from there.
Well, exciting. And I know also in my notes here, I see that your music seeks to move people and getting to the deepest corners of their hearts. And so where does that come from?
Well, I love storytelling through my music, and I love just telling people stories about their hardships and people that I've known that have gone through bad experiences in their lives. And I just like for people to listen to the songs and kind of not feel so alone in the hardships that they're going through, because a lot of pop music nowadays doesn't really have that kind of edge. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I love to just write about things that matter.
Nice. And of course, things that mattered to you when you were in high school and the songs you were writing and singing then, all of a sudden now you're in college.
Yes.
And things change.
Yeah, of course. Because, you know, you grow older, you learn more things and you write what you know. So I don't know. So it's been really fun.
Well, it's really fun to have you here. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you're going to sing for us. Speaking of, what are you going to sing for us?
So I'm going to be singing two new songs today. Mm-hmm. The first one, I'm still working on the name because I actually just recently wrote it.
Oh, nice.
But the second one is called Love Story.
The second one is called Love Story. Okay. And then, of course, the single that we were talking about before is In My Head. And we've posted the official video for that on our webpage on the
yes.
Life Changes show.
Yeah, thank you.
So, so which are you going to sing first?
So I'm going to sing the untitled song first.
What temporary title should we give it?
I don't know, like Walk Your Talk or something like that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then here is Rhonda Dawn. I'm smiling because I'm thinking Walk Your Talk. I mean, that's so good. All right. So here is Rhonda Dawn singing Walk Your Talk live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
You always say to give it time, create the space, you'll see the stars. Light falls after a long evening, and your back gets square one. Saying you'll spend time on what you pushed aside. It's easy to become the type of girl that blames the universe for not giving her a world. And what if I took away everything you didn't have? The future is a mix of your present and your past. The same old routine, you lose a grip on your dreams. Would you accept it, or would you try and fix everything? You blame others for your lack of efficiency. You go talking about everything you're doing. How much longer will it take for you to see? Your life is passing by and you're just waiting. And what will you do if your dreams never find you? What if I took away everything you didn't have? The future of your present and your past. The same old routine, you lose a grip on your dreams. Would you accept it, or would you try and fix everything? Suddenly you're at the age you always hoped you'd be someday. Playing shows, not waiting tables. Where did the time go? What if I took away everything you didn't have? The future is a mix of your present and your past. The same old rules. would you try and fix everything?
Wow, nice. Ron Dadon, thank you so much. That's awesome.
Thank you.
For those who want to know where you could learn more about Ron Dadon, go to rondadon.com. That's RONDADON.com. RONDADON.com. You know, actually, as I was writing the title, sometimes I make mistakes and it ends up being like an unconscious thing. So I'll tell you what I wrote and then you do decide what you want to do with it. But I wrote Walk, Walk Your Talk.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means, but I'm there it is. It's certainly different. But whatever it ends up being, great song. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much.
And you know, I love saying your name. It kind of rhymes.
Yeah, it definitely rhymes.
That wasn't by intention?
No. It's an Israeli name, and naming girls Ron out there in Israel, it's really common. And so my last name was just Dadon, and just kind of worked out.
Well, there it is.
Yeah.
It's like a perfect, you know, celebrity name, rock star name. So,
thank you.
So write it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Walk it.
Okay.
Whatever that means. all right. So the second one you said is called Love Story. Is that what
yes.
you said? Okay. Yeah. I take it it's about a love story?
Kind of. You know, like less than you'd think. You know, I wrote this song after, well, the day before I wrote the song, I wrote a very intense, like, complicated song, and it, like, kind of took all my, you know, brain power to write it.
Okay.
And so then the next day, I sat down, I was like, I just need to write something fun and, like, easy.
Oh.
And so this one ended up actually being my favorite one out of the two.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. And it's just kind of about, like, being young and having fun and kind of being afraid of falling in love, but kind of still wanting to do it, you know.
You know, as a life coach, I give people exercises, and sometimes like the second exercise is the real exercise.
Yeah.
But the first one is to get them to get out of their head or what have you. So who knows? That first one might have been a song. It might not be. It might have been the exercise to lead to here. I can't wait to hear this one. This is Ron Dadon singing Love Story here live at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
Try. Good thing the deed is done and the story's signed. The authors are you and I. Oh, baby, do not speak, do not think tonight. Kiss me, sweet, even if it's for the last time. Don't need to sleep or fall in love tonight. This will be our love story. Go right about until the end of time.
I like her endings too. I
mean, thank you.
Nice job, Ron Dadon. Thank you so much. As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, that's right. These haven't been released yet. Do we look forward to these being on your first album release?
Yes.
Both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And we heard them here first.
Yes, this is the debut.
This is exciting. Thank you so much. And because your influences are some really big names in the music business, and powerful for that matter.
Yeah, I love Alanis Morissette and Fiona Apple. They're up there. They're like my top inspirations. They're the best.
And so they're helping inspire you to do what with your music career?
Well, I just want to make music, you know, that is real and that is a little different. It has a little rock edge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to call like my genre that I'm working on kind of like alternative rock with a pop influence. So
nice.
Something like they would make, but like that would fit into today.
Nice, nice. In other words, Fiona Apple and Alanis Morissette, you don't fit into today, but we have... No, I'm just kidding.
No,
that's not what she said.
You.
No, thank you for what you're bringing into today. Your words are deep and you're obviously your heart's into it and you're putting it into your lyrics. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
What a pleasure. All right. So, and thank you to Denise Stefanetti who introduced us.
Yes. We love
her. That was awesome. So, and she'll be on the show too one of these days. So what a pleasure. Ron Dadon, go to RONDADON.com to learn about her more. And a big thank you again to Denise Monge for being our guest tonight. On behalf of all of us, I think we want to thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
And
thank you.
On behalf of our executive, Dorothy Donahue, and our executive producer, that is, and our producer, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.